we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here in Cocoa, Florida. And so we want to thank you for tuning in today. Pray that you've had a great week and that the studies that we have been going through in Isaiah chapter 40 have been edifying for you and informational for you. I want to take just a moment to invite you out to our weekend events this week, our services that we're having tomorrow, Saturday, September the 24th at 1 p.m. We have Pastor Joe Pons with us. He's a pastor that one of our men met, one of our military personnel. He's written a book. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. He's going to be coming and sharing with our men, our Iron Men's group tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Normally it's a breakfast. Tomorrow it is a lunch, and we will be taking up a love offering for him. But we want to invite you out if you know military personnel, especially if you know they're feeling like they're all alone or struggling to reacclimate into civilian life. If they're dealing with some of the things that they've seen and experienced while in combat, we want to invite you to encourage them to attend. Everybody's welcome. It's going to be in our sanctuary, 1 p.m. Tomorrow afternoon, and hopefully that you that will be a blessing. On Sunday, we will be having our Sunday morning services, Sunday school 9:30, intercessory prayer at 8:30, our worship service at 10:30 in the morning, and then Sunday night we will be having our grow groups at 6:30 p.m. with a little bit of fellowship afterwards. And so that's what our weekend is looking like. And if you can attend any of those, if they're a blessing to you, come on out and take part in that. So we want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 40 today. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 25. And it says, "To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." So I want to read that verse to you again. "By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing." That's referring to the stars of heaven. Verse number 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Today I want to begin talking to you about the Almighty, Inexhaustible God. God the Almighty, God the Inexhaustible. Because I believe that a lot of times we fall into believing the devil's lie that God does not have the power or the might or the strength to deal with the complexities and the magnitude of the problems that we are dealing with. And I want to declare to you that that is a lie. Satan rebelled against God, and he got ejected out of heaven. I want you to know that the battle wasn't close. It wasn't a razor-thin victory. You know, a lot of times in sporting events, sometimes there's total domination, and then other times, you know, there's an eking out of a victory by, you know, just 1 point. I want you to know it wasn't close. It's you cannot compare the power of Satan with the power of God. In fact, I was just reading in the Word earlier this week about the man who was filled with a legion of demons, and just at the mere presence of Jesus, the demons that had inhabited that man, who were in possession of that man and made him uncontrollable by any human being, to the point that he was breaking chains and the society, the community was living in terror, that when Jesus showed up, the demons began to beg. That's how much power there is in Jesus Christ. He is the inexhaustible, almighty, all-powerful God. So whatever you are facing today, as you are preparing to go to this weekend, you can look at a situation and say, you know what? That problem might be too big for me, but it's not too big for God. God has more than enough strength and resources. You see, whenever you start looking at power in the scriptures, there could be the aspect of ability or strength, and then there is also the aspect of authority. Some people might have the capacity to deal with an issue, but lack the authority to deal with that. And in our society, we call them vigilantes. Vigilantes, where they take matters into their own hands. They go after it with their own strength, with their own resources, and most of the time they end up causing more problems than they want. I want you to know we don't live in a lawless society. There are other people who have the authority, but they lack the commitment, the backbone, the drive to actually act upon that authority, and so they don't do anything, even though they have the position, the title, the power, the authority. They are negligent in the application of that. God is neither. He has both the authority and he has the capability to deal with your sin issues, any strongholds, any spiritual addictions that there might be. He has the ability to deal with relationship issues. You know, that's a big one for me, because I see so much dysfunction in relationships in modern America. By the way, I will say this, there's been a study that's been promoted for a number of years, decades actually, that says the divorce rate in church is as high as it is outside of church. A couple of years ago, there was a study that said that's not the case. That's not the case. It's much, much lower. And it was wrong on both accounts. It was wrong on how many marriages are ending in divorce, and it was even more wrong on how many marriages in the church were ending in divorce. I believe that God can deal with relationship issues because I've seen him do it. It just takes people who are willing to be humble. And I will tell you, when you start talking about the actual problems in relationships, it can begin to turn people off. Sometimes it's just because people are uninformed. They just don't know. They don't understand. They may understand that there are some external physical differences between men and women, but they may not understand the difference in life approach. They might not understand the difference in thought process, how deeply words can hurt and things like that. So sometimes it is purely ignorance. God is able to deal with that. You know, if there's a lack of information, God can help you to gain the information that you need. But if you have all the information and you just refuse to apply it, there is no cure for stupid. So don't be dumb. You know, the Bible describes that husband and wife are one flesh, and so you don't want to be going around punching yourself in the face. It's not healthy for you. And you don't want to be going around abusing your spouse verbally or physically or emotionally. You don't want to be doing that because it's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for you. It's not the way that Jesus would act. So don't be uninformed. And you know, then there are other things. The Bible describes that relationships fall apart because of a couple of things. One, somebody can just be deceived. That's what happened with Eve. She was deceived. Somebody believes a lie. If you are having some communication issues, sit down and be real. Now, I want to encourage you to do this. Whenever you are, if you're having what I describe as moments of intense fellowship between your spouse, don't use word like you always do this, you never do this, because those things are just generally not true. For the most part, always never means always, and never means never. So you want to stay on the topic. God is able to deal with the problem. He has the power. He has the inexhaustible strength and the inexhaustible wisdom to be able to get you through a crisis. So if there's deception, talk it out, because I have been victim of other people believing things about me that weren't true. Looking back at it, I can see how they came to the conclusion that they came to, but the reality was still this. They believed a lie. They believed something that was not true. Could see how they came to that conclusion, but it wasn't the reality. And so don't believe the lies of the enemy. Sit down, talk about it, and you will find out that a lot of times that look that person supposedly gave you might have been because a mosquito was flying around their ear. They might have been just getting ready to fight off a sneeze. It could have been something completely and totally unrelated to what you have taken that look and applied your own meaning to it. And then there is this, that there are people and their hearts are just hard. The Bible talks about that. And I want you to understand what the Word of God says about God and people's hearts, that He holds the hearts of kings in His hand and He can steer them like a water course. He can make them go wherever He wants to. If that we remain tender, He is... You can look in the Old Testament and you can see that God deals with stony, hard hearts by removing them and giving them a tender heart of flesh. If you are hard-hearted, that doesn't mean that you've got to stay that way. Come to God and ask Him for the power, for Him to utilize the power that He has to transform the hardness of your heart. So those are some of the issues. There's many, many others, but I want you to know that God has the ability to deal with those. He has the power to deal with sickness and disease. Now, there was a time when there was a man in the Scriptures, Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down from the mountain, and immediately he is confronted by a man, and he says, I've got this child of mine. He's possessed by a demon. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything about his situation. And Jesus' question to them is, why are you bothering the disciples? Why are you bothering the disciples? And that was when, you know, the explanation has. And Jesus said, bring the boy to me. When they bring the boy to Jesus, the demon takes authority over this boy's body, throws him to the ground, and everybody thinks that he's dead. The demon leaves, and Jesus raises the boy up. And the disciples were quite perplexed at this point in time, because they'd walked with him for 3+ years. And he said, why could not we cast out this devil? And he said, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. And if you and I want to see the almighty power of God in demonstration in our society, we need to heed the words of Jesus, and we need to become people of prayer. And we need to become people who fast, where we set aside certain things to seek that which is better in God's eyes. This last weekend, my wife and I and our youth and children's pastors, we were at a conference. And I have determined, in fact, I on Facebook had one of those flashback posts that they put up there, and it went back 7 years. And when I read it, it told me how tired I was 7 years ago when I came back from the conference. And it's like, I'm 7 years older. No wonder I was so tired. I was so tired. And I'm from Oklahoma. I root for the University of Oklahoma. They got humiliated last week by Ohio State. It was supposed to come on at 7:30. So I set it to record. And there was a bad thunderstorm that came through Oklahoma, and the game got postponed. It got delayed. I wish it had been postponed. it got delayed, and it got delayed to a point, and I said, you know what? I need rest more than I need to watch the University of Oklahoma play football. And the fact that they lost made it even more proof that I made the right decision on Sunday morning when I got up. It's like, praise the Lord. And so I only saw one play. It was when my wife came to bed. I was already sound asleep, and I woke up long enough to watch Ohio State score a touchdown, and I said, I'm going to sleep. You can do whatever you want with that television. We turned it off and went to bed. I hadn't seen any of the game except for that one play. Was sound asleep because rest to me was more important than that football game. And fasting is a conscious choice that says, God has wisdom. He has the answer that I need. He has the character that I need. He has the power that I need. And I am going to make a choice to spend more time with God than I am with food or with entertainment or whatever it might be. And I'm not going to put on a look that says, I am miserable while I'm going through this. Look, seeking the face of God is not a miserable experience. It is a glorious experience. You and I are coming into the presence of the Almighty, inexhaustible God, where other people are turning to idols who cannot even construct themselves, cannot defend themselves, cannot do anything on behalf of their people. God is not that. He is powerful. He has the authority to act on our behalf, and he's never going to grow weary. He's never going to be exhausted. Jesus experienced some of that in his humanity when he walked upon the earth, but not so in his glory. You know, I was preparing for this broadcast, and I was thinking about our kitchen. Our house was built quite a few decades ago, and sometimes whenever you turn on too many items, too many appliances at the same time, it creates such a demand, such a draw that it supersedes the capacity of the wire that is carrying the power. There's too much of a drain, and it trips the breaker in the breaker box. Does that mean that FPL has quit providing sufficient power to power my toaster? Absolutely not. In fact, the mere accusation of that is actually intellectually insulting. The power is still supplied. It's not a power supply problem. It is a power conduit problem. And I want to declare to you today that what you and I need in our life is for God to increase our capacity. We are getting ready to have some electrical work done. The electrician is coming, and he is increasing the capacity. He's been out. He's done the inspections. He said the power company has already been here and changed the wire from the pole from what it was when this house was first built. When the house was first built, all they did was provide enough for 100 amps, for 100 amp breaker. He said, but they have changed the feed that you have going to your meter to where you could double the amount of power that you access and not run into any power outages. And so he said, what we need to do for you is, they're coming out and changing my panel and all of that sort of stuff. He said, so what we're going to do when we do this is we are going to run new wiring. We're going to increase the capacity that the power company has supplied to your house so that when you need it, you can access it. It's not an FPL problem. It's simply a capacity problem on our end of the equation. And so we're going to remedy that situation, and we're going to pay the price. We're going to have the professionals come out. They're going to do it. They're going to take care of the problem. They're going to actually solve problems for me that I didn't even realize were a potential problem. And so it's going to be a win-win situation. And don't you think that if the power company, by the way, the power company makes money when you and I use power. They want us to use it efficiently. The reason that they do is because if their demand increases, then they have to increase their supply. They can produce power. It's what they do. But they want to do it in a cost-efficient manner. God is not limited by finances. There is enough power available to believers that we should be able to see revival in Brevard County, that we should be able to see drug addicts set free, that we should be able to see alcoholics set free, that we should be able to see those people who are in the idolatry of greed, that we should be able to see them set free. The Church of Jesus Christ in Brevard County should be the most powerful organization or organism in this county. I looked at a study earlier this week, and it was talking about the financial impact through all of the good that is done in the United States of America because of religious organizations. And so it's from drug treatment to, the fact that we help people to place less of a demand on law enforcement, we help people with finding jobs and blessing the poor and all of the things that the church does. And they said this is what the study said, the value of the church produces a greater monetary benefit to our country than the dollar amount that is produced by Microsoft and Facebook internationally combined. Now, should we not walk in the power of God? Should we not walk in the authority that God has given to us? If God is the inexhaustible God, should we not say, God, would you increase my ability? Would you increase my level of holiness? Would you increase my obedience to you? Would you increase my capacity to hear from you? God, you may your power not be restricted by my lack of capacity to be a conduit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all power and authority is given to me on heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. There's enough power to go. We do not have to be limited and restricted by fear. We serve the inexhaustible God. It says this, He never faints. He neither faints nor is weary. He neither faints nor is weary. And I want to tell you today that he is available for you. He's available for me. Let's ask him to do the work that he wants to do in us so that his power can flow mightily through us for the benefit of our community, that they would see God is God. You see, Elijah showed up on Mount Carmel with there were about 850 idol prophets there, 400 for Baal, 450 for Ashtar, I believe was the way that it was done. He says, let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Choose today which one you are going to follow. And in spite of all of the cutting and all of the shouting and all of the flailing that was going on, neither Baal nor Ashtoreth answered their prophets. And Elijah said, I'm not only going to rebuild the altar, I'm going to place the sacrifice on the altar. And the most precious commodity during a 3.5 year long drought is water. And he said, I'm going to saturate this with the most precious thing we have. And he said, God, would you answer these people and would you show them today who you are? And God answered Elijah's prayer. The sacrifice was consumed and all the water, the dust, I mean, it was just a tremendous demonstration of power. And all of a sudden the people saw with their own eyes. They said, God is the Lord. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would realize that you are not retired, that you are not impotent, but you are omnipotent. You are all powerful. You are the Almighty God. And Lord, you long to move on behalf of your people. I pray today, O God, that we would not hinder your ability. Lord, that we would not have restricted capacity to operate in the power of your goodness. Lord, may there be miracles and signs and wonders done throughout this county. Lord, in the lives of your people this week, may testimonies come forth that God is the omnipotent, the inexhaustible, Almighty God. I want to take just one more minute to invite you again to come out, men. Tomorrow, our Iron Men special event, 1 p.m., Pastor Joe Pons is going to be with us. If you're a military person, come out, be a part of that. We got a free lunch that's afterwards. We are going to take a love offering for Pastor Pons for his travel expenses, but come out and join us. If not, see you Sunday. If not, then we'll see you here Monday, right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing? Yeah.
you're my world.